It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and riding with me for this DFS game by game breakdown. Y'all know what time it is. It's my co-host Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, you excited as I am, man? Let's talk some DFS, dude.
I can't yell because I'm not able to right now. It's too early, but you got to have a lot of give and take, right? Like we bounce off each other well. I'm the kind of even keeled voice, and you're the hype man, and I'm already excited about this week, but that opening just, I know I don't sound like it, but it makes me more excited. I'm hyped.
Everybody talks about it. I am the psycho. You are the sane person. To level this out, we had to bring in a very special guest from FTNDaily.com. Chris Meany is here this week to talk game by game with us for this DFS slate. Meany, what's up, man? I know you're going to bring the fire, but I know you're more along the lines of Adam. You are a much more sane individual than I am.
I don't know. It may come out on the show. The energy is hot off the top. I'm happy to be here, fellas. You guys are crushing it here on this pod. Man, yeah, let's get into it. You and I were talking, D-Bro, before the show. It's an interesting slate. I'm a tournament guy. I like to play some cash, like a couple cash lineups. I might just avoid it this week. I think this is like a tournament week. We've got the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, and we have three Monday night games. So it's an interesting slate to break down. Happy to be here, fellas.
Dude, I think it's going to be a great slate. I think a lot of people like open DK, and they're like going to look at this, and they're like, ew. And I love this slate, man. So yeah, we're going to go through all of these games, support each other's takes, have a nice warm hug. It's going to be good, man. And while we're talking about support here, got to mention off the top here, support for Fade the Chalk is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and the Manscaped engineering team has perfected the greatest trimmer known to creation. For your downstairs area, they just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. This thing, the battery lasts for 90 minutes. It is waterproof. You can use this in the shower. Head over to manscaped.com. Use the promo code FTN. You will get 20% off and free shipping. That's the promo code FTN at manscaped.com. All right, guys, let's kick this off. Time to kick the tires and light the fires. We are going to talk about Jacksonville is heading to Minnesota. The over-under is set at 51. Minnesota Vikings are favored by 10. Meany, speak to me. What do you love in this game?
I like a lot of the Vikings. I mean, how could you not? They got one of the highest team implied totals of the week. Last I checked was at 30. Was at 31.5 just the other day. It's kind of dropped down a point, but yeah, I mean, we're going to get Adam Thielen back, Pfeiffer's boy. We got Justin Jefferson, who's lighting it up. Kirk Cousins has actually been, I looked at the back of his football card, the game log, just the other day, and it's been, pretty consistent. 30 DK points, 26, 18, 20, had the down game there in Green Bay. That happens. 29 before that. It's been a nice little ride here from Kirk Cousins, heavy favorites, as you mentioned. I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on Dalvin Cook. I'm a little hesitant to go all the way up to 9-5 with him. He's not going to be 100%. If they start to blow the doors off Jacksonville, which, it's quite possible, we could see some Madison in there. But I think Cousins does enough with his two weapons where it's one of my favorite stacks, actually. If I'm going to be putting in multiple lineups, I'm going to stack one team. I'd like to go maybe Cousins, Thielen, and Jefferson, and then Rudolph is in play as well. I know you guys were on him last week. A lot of us over at FTN were on him with the uptick in usage with no Irv Smith, and 8 targets, 7 grabs, 68 yards. When he's involved in the offense, he's been a player in the red zone too, and that's what you want into your tight end. So $3,400, I'm pretty interested. Not so much on the Jacksonville side of things. Robinson has been pretty solid all year. Glennon, is DJ Chark going to come back? You're going to get nuts with Colin Johnson there, you know, who showed up last week, but there was no Chark, there's no Conley. So, I don't know, man. I like the Vikings a lot.
I do too. I like the Vikings a lot this week. And I think I'm really curious where we see, like, where if you head over to FTNDaily.com, get signed up with the promo code FTC, you've got to check out Kyle Murray's ownership projections. They are amongst the best in the business. I love them. I stare at them constantly. I'm sure like half of our page views and clicks over at FTN Daily are me going to them religiously. And I'm really curious as to where all of these skill players come in at this week. Like, I can see people being scared and not wanting to pay for Dalvin Cook. And if he comes in and he's not popular, I'll have some interest. But if he is like 15, 20%, a little bit higher than that, I might just go to the pass catchers in this one. And yeah, you're talking about Meany. Like, I think that Kyle Rudolph would go right back to the well with him this week. I mean, in the two games with no Irv Smith, he ran a route on 77.9% of Kirk Cousins' dropbacks. We know the matchup versus Jacksonville. Like, basically, if you have a heartbeat and you are not dead, you can score a touchdown versus this defense. They have allowed the most touchdowns in the NFL to opposing tight ends. I like Kyle Rudolph, and even if you don't want to stack this game, so I think the plays in this one, because it is such a condensed passing structure, like Adam Thielen, Jefferson are firmly in play. If you're going to go with one of these guys as a one-off, I lean Thielen because the red zone role is his. Now, did Jefferson get in the end zone twice last week? Yes. But I think a lot of that was he was playing the Adam Thielen role because, look, since Jefferson really became a thing, Thielen has still vastly outpaced him in the red zone. Like, before the Week 12 explosion, since Jefferson has really been a key cog in this passing offense, so since Week 6, if you want to go back that far, he had no red zone targets, but Adam Thielen had 6. I think that Thielen, it goes back into being the red zone option for Minnesota. I think that if you're even going, I think you can even make a case that the second option in the red zone, if they're passing the ball, could be Kyle Rudolph and not Justin Jefferson. So if you want to get different with your stacks with Kirk Cousins, I think that playing Thielen and playing Rudolph is an easy way to do that. I know people are going to squinch and say, I don't know about that. But I think that it's in play if you're going touchdown hunting this week. Adam, what are your thoughts on this game before we move over to Jacksonville?
Adam Thielen's back? I didn't know that. That's awesome. So two things, but the two things that stand out to the most to me in this game is I think the majority of people are going to expect Minnesota to blow Jacksonville out, which could happen. But, like, Jacksonville's not, like, they're 1-11. They're bad, but they're not getting really blown out, like, which is great for fantasy because teams can't really coast against them. I mean, the Pittsburgh game, like, 27-3, it looks bad, but, like, they were never really, really, really totally, like, out of that game. And then you look across the board. Last week against Cleveland, they could have won that game. Green Bay, they were in that game all the way through. Houston, there was a close game. The Chargers game was close until, like, the end of the fourth quarter. Like, they don't get, like, just beat, like, 35-14, which is awesome for fantasy. So, I have a little bit of concern with Dalvin Cook, not because of the matchup or anything, but, like, he escaped last week's game without a serious injury, but they're saying he's really banged up. Maybe they kind of limit him. I don't know if they can because they need to win every game right now to have a shot to make the playoffs. But yeah, like 9,500, like I love just stacking Cousins with Jefferson and Thielen. And I also think Rudolph is going to be one of the most popular tight end plays on the slate because the position's terrible as it always is, but you don't have Kelce on the slate or on the main slate, which takes away like 90% of the appeal of tight end. So I think Rudolph, especially with Irv Smith not practicing, is going to be pretty popular at 3,500. But Jacksonville's given up a 100-yard game to a receiver in 7 of their last 8 games. So you got to think one of Jefferson or Thielen is going for 100. And yeah, like if I'm picking between the two, it's always going to be Thielen because the guy leads the NFL in end zone targets with 15, end zone touchdowns with 10, and he has 20% of the Vikings end zone targets, which is the highest rate in the NFL among qualified players. So like, yeah, he's probably getting in the box. I think Jefferson could go for like 150 in this game though. Like I think the way with him being second in yards per pass route behind Davante Adams and you know, how efficient he's been and how he's been their downfield guy. Like, he could go for 150 in this game. So I'm going to have exposure to both these guys with Kirk Cousins. The question is, like, do you want to run it back? Chark's been limited in practice. Who do you run it back with? Because Keelan Cole is a good match. They all have good matchups, right? I mean, Jeff Gladney in the slot has given up 7 touchdowns in coverage. He's been awful. If, you know, he's going to stay in the slot regardless. The guy that gets impacted, obviously, would be Colin Johnson if Chark or Conley are back. I mean, Chark's cheap enough at 5,400 that, like, even with Mike Glennon, he could go for, like, 80 and a touchdown and be enough to run it back with. James Robinson is just, you know, the elite of the elite cash game plays. Leads the NFL in opportunity share. He's top 5 in among running backs in rushing yards, scrimmage yards, receiving yards. He's been the best in an awful season for, like, storylines and just a confusing season with the COVID stuff. He's been the best story of fantasy, in my opinion, James Robinson.
I like Robinson. I think that he's in play. I do worry because the Vikings, like we're talking about, have not been a good defensive unit, but they are good this year at stopping the run. So I'm more lower on Robinson, especially coming off the good game. I think that if people are looking for a run back option, I think that he's going to be the popular one. I actually want to go to Keelan Cole here. And yeah, you talked about Jeff Gladney.
I figured you would, by the way.
Well, you talked about Gladney, dude. How can we not want to play a wide receiver that's going to see approximately 60% of his routes, if not more, versus Jeff Gladney, who has allowed the most touchdowns for any corner in the NFL? Like, how do you not want to play that guy? Like, that's my only thing. Like, I know it doesn't have to be sexy, but, he's sub-4K. He literally gets the best matchup on the board against all of these horrible, horrible corners. And, like, that's where I'm going, man. It's the price. It's the role. It's the matchup. Because he's been involved in the red zone. We've seen ceiling games out of him. He's not banged up like DJ Chark, although I think that DJ Chark makes for an interesting... If you're MMEing or you're running 20 lineups, you want to stack this game and get different. If Chark is playing, I think that he's an interesting play in this game for GBPs. But if I'm picking one guy to run it back on the Jacksonville side, it's Keelan Cole for me. But Meany, are you with me on Cole or are you going another route here?
No, I'm with you guys on Cole. I would rather, I think, Chark because I just think that there's a little bit of a higher ceiling there. And, you know, Glennon will chuck it if he has to. You know, Robinson has been an absolute stud so far this year. He caught 5 passes last week. But
I'm in love with James Robinson, by the way. I'm in love with James Robinson.
Oh, man, how could you not? I mean, it's a phenomenal story. This guy gets all the touches, all the work, and it's a brutal offense. He's seen some stack boxes. He's still getting it done. And against good run defenses, he's been getting it done.
He's matchup proof because he's getting 20 touches every week. And with Glennon starting, in that first game, they threw to him way more than he was getting targeted by Jake Luton. So
exactly.
He's the man.
Was Chris Thompson even running routes last week? Like, I feel like James Robinson was just he was the workhorse.
Yeah, he's there's no Chris Thompson. It's just Robinson show. I look at our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, and there's no surprise to see Thielen and Jefferson up at the top, right? 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
But Cole's in there, top 15. I mean, Chenault, I'm not interested. He's inside the top 20. You go down the list, if Colin Johnson is going to get some work and it's not going to be Chark returning, he's in the top 25. Like, this could be a sneaky little fantasy game to Adam's point from Jacksonville's side as well, doing their part to keep things close. But you look overall at the numbers. I mean, Jacksonville's allowed the 4th most passing yards, the 2nd worst DVOA, pass DVOA. They've allowed the 2nd most passing touchdowns. They're in the top 10 in 20-yard plays through the air, 40-yard plays through the air. The fantasy points per position, quarterbacks, wide receivers, backs, they check all of the boxes. So Jacksonville will actually they're going to have to probably chuck a little bit. So that does benefit. I think Cole, I would expect him probably to get the most targets, but I really do feel like Chark, coming off that injury, big play guy, I think he has the highest ceiling. I'm most interested in him, but man, you're really dropping down in terms of, you know, on DraftKings from 5.4 to 3.8. That's significant.
Yeah, and I mean, we're looking for value this week. I guess, so we're trying to find ways to be different weekly in GPPs. Meany, I'm going to toss this to you because you're talking about, like, is this game, can Mike Glennon do enough on the Jacksonville side for you to just full game stack this? Like, would you be willing to stack Cousins, say two pass catchers, and run two Jags back? In that scenario, could you go two wide receivers, or does it have to be Robinson and pick one of the pass catchers?
I think I would just pick one, yeah. I kind of view this as like maybe a 30 to 14, as much as I'm saying Jacksonville can keep it close. I think I would just pick one. Honestly, I would rather just go with Trark, like I said, but, you know, there's some other appealing options throughout this slate that I don't think I would go put all my eggs in one basket sort of deal and just, you know, game stack here. But I feel like Glennon can do, you know, I look back at Glennon a few years ago, obviously. It's been a long time since I think he's even started two games in a row, but, you know, he's been on bad teams, but he chucks. I mean, the completion percentage is not there, but he could throw 40 plus balls in this game, and he's capable enough to, you know, he could get the garbage time work. He could air one out to Chark. If he airs one out to Chark early, you're looking at potentially two wide receivers at least getting double digit fantasy points with just on his arm alone if they have to get off Robinson. But I still think like that's going to be the game plan. Like, I can't envision Robinson, even if they're down, not touching the ball 20 times. That's my one issue.
Agreed. And I think his volume is the one thing that you can lean on in this game. I'm curious where his roster percentage comes in at, because this secondary has been eaten up all year long. The only guy that has made this secondary look good has been Nick Foles, which I think tells you more about Foles than it tells you about the secondary. So, yeah. I mean, I think a way to be different and could it be a little bit too thin is to go with two of the wide receivers here. Depending on where James Robinson's roster percentage comes in at this week, it's possibly a little bit thin, but I do think that this game could surprise, and I'm not going to be surprised if this game does actually go over. But Adam, am I crazy there? Is this definitely an under for you, or could you see them actually putting up some points in this spot?
No, I clearly kind of alluded to it. I think Jacksonville plays this game tough, like they've kind of played the majority of their games. And if Chark plays, I think we could get like a 30 to 24 type game. And if
he's
that happens,
key, I think, Chark.
Yeah, because he's clearly their best player on offense, at least mm-hmm. in the passing game. And it just opens everything up for everybody else. But I think with Minnesota's like secondary being as bad as it is, I would not even be remotely surprised if this was like a 30 to 24 finish, and that'd be really good for fantasy, because if that's the case, then Thielen and Jefferson are probably both going off, and you know, Dalvin can still do his thing. So yeah, I like this game a lot.
It seems like we're all in on the pass catchers on Minnesota, and you're right, D-Bro, to look at Kyle Murray's projections, because as we go through the slate, it feels like you don't have to spend up at running back.
Agreed.
So, no, man, you can just play Frank Gore.
Yeah, you can just play
Frank
Gore.
Oh, my God. No, we are not. Oh, Adam, what in the actual hell, man?
But Cook could actually come in maybe 12, 14%, even that. And you look at the game log, plus the questionable tag, the big spread. You see Madison's price. I mean, DK's thinking he's going to get involved.
Yeah, what the hell is that about?
11 points last week, 29 was the big smash against Dallas, of course, but 15 before that. So it's been two of the last three have just been below average, really, for what we're used to seeing with Dalvin Cook. So at 9.5, he may be the I don't want to say contrarian, but he may be the underrated, you know, you could get Cook a lot lower ownership than we're used to seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really depends. Like, I'm not opposed to, like, hedging and, you know, running Cook in a lineup and then, you know, stacking up the Minnesota passing game in another lineup. I mean, that could be a way where I go, depending on where we see Cook coming into Sunday. All right, guys, moving on to what could be... I mean, look, we got two differing teams. Whether you think this game is nasty or not, I think that there is some appeal here. Las Vegas Raiders are heading to the Jets. Raiders are favored by 9. The over-under is set at 47. Adam, what are your thoughts here? Are you willing to stack this game, or do you hate this game? I know you love Frank Gore on a weekly basis.
I don't love Frank Gore. I just like giving you shit because you make fun of me whenever I mention Frank Gore.
He's in the FTN season-long lineup for the past 2 weeks for Akora, my team.
Oh, nice. How does it feel to have players that are actually worth starting in that league?
Hey, he's getting double-digit points. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take. I would love that. You know, try to fight for the playoffs. And, oh, Adam Thielen's on the COVID list, so there goes one of my two good players on my team. Yeah, the obvious thing we have to watch is for Josh Jacobs. Didn't practice Thursday or Wednesday. As I always do when we record this, I have Twitter open, just waiting for practice reports. But you talked about it, like, do they need to play him in this game? I know the Raiders have slipped the last couple games, and they're another team that needs to kind of win. So, like, if Jacobs is remotely healthy, I think he plays. But the fact that he hasn't practiced in two straight games tells me he's probably not fully healthy. Devontae Booker is priced to a point where it's like he's not like a free square at 5,500, but he would be a really strong play. D'Abro and I talked about him pretty much all week on the podcast for obvious reasons. And, I mean, in a game where they're favored against a bad Jets team that leads the NFL in missed tackles, I mean, 17 touches seems like a floor for Devontae Booker. He's going to get all the goal line work. He was already getting, like, Latavius Murray light work with Jacobs active. So, yeah, if Jacobs is ruled out, I mean, Devontae Booker becomes a really, really strong play against the Jets. And then, look, in cash, I'm just saying, like, Frank Gore isn't the worst play at 4,400. You're not playing him in tournaments because his ceiling is, like, 12. But he's got 21 touches last week. If there's a week where the Jets can score some points on offense, it'd probably be this week because the Raiders are allowing a score on 50.5% of their drives, the highest rate in the NFL, and they give up the most points per drive at nearly 2.8 per game. So if there's a week for the Jets to put up 17 points, which is like the bar for them, this could be the week. But I also think the Jets receivers are interesting in general because, like, Denzel Mims has been getting all the air yards and he's been really impressive. I still would prefer him with Flacco, but, like, he got 8 looks with Darnold last week, and he's been over 60 yards in 3 straight games, which doesn't sound like a lot. He's been priced up over 4K for the first time, but I think Denzel Mims just in general is really interesting, especially if you're looking at it from, I guess, a dynasty perspective. I've been pretty impressed with the limited stuff we've seen from him this year.
Dude, I want to lead this off with there's no way in actual hell I will put American dollars with the lineup with Frank Gore in it. There, I understand, Adam, and we talked about this earlier in the week. I get that he's gotten 66% of their carries inside the 5, my friend, but I still can't do that.
Wait.
That
do you want
to? Total is only 3. Do you? They've had 3. He's not getting a touchdown. No.
A play last week where they were down 2 scores. It was 4th and 1 midfield, and they still just gave it to him, and he got stuffed.
You can't find that anywhere else. Maybe no, in the Chargers offense, but
it's ludicrous, man.
Frank Gore's gonna have the Adrian Peterson game this week.
I can't.
He's gonna touch the ball 20 times, D-Bro, and he's caught 5 balls in the last 2 weeks. I'm not interested, but I see where Adam's going. Like, if you want the cheapest play ever and you just hoped up, that's the thing. There's no ceiling.
No, you don't play him in tournaments, and I mostly play tournaments, so, like, I'm not gonna play a lot of Frank Gore. But, like, yeah, his ceiling is like 12.
I like this game though.
I can't play Frank Gore. I just no. Just not doing it. to the other plays in this game, though, man, like, I want to bring up the Raiders wide receivers in this one because Nelson Agholor logging back-to-back DMPs, I've got some interest, man. I'm not going to stack this game, but I do like some mini correlations, some one-offs, pairing some guys in other stacks in this one. I'm not going to chase Derek Carr anymore. I'm just not going to do it. But I like the wide receivers in this game. I think that Renfro is in play. The Jets secondary has been just abysmal. They're terrible. Lamar Jackson, Mallett in the slot, Bryce Hall on the outside. None of these guys are worth anything in coverage. Like Lamar Jackson, 146 passer rating allowed. Mallett, 128. Bryce Hall's been the best guy that they have right now, and he's not good. Like, he runs a possible 4.5, 4.6. I mean, there were speed concerns coming out of college and his ability to play man coverage. And now he's going to see a lot of Henry Ruggs. Sign me up, man. I'm in on it, man. Like, I'm going to have some Ruggs exposure as well as Renfro this week. I think that Renfro, it's a ceiling floor combination. So even if you wanted to go Renfro in cash, I don't hate that. Ruggs, I think this could be the spot where we see the massive ceiling game because, I mean, Jets, they are 32nd in DVOA against deep passing. That is all in Henry Ruggs' wheelhouse. Now, if you go over and you look at deep targets and stuff, his numbers are extremely comparable to Nelson Agholor. The only difference is Ruggs has been amazingly unlucky and not come down with any of these passes. So could this be the get right, the explosion spot? Yeah, I mean, dude, I've been playing all kinds of options against the Jets, and I'm not going to slow down here, especially if people are going to be off Henry Ruggs. I think Darren Waller is in play. The question is, do you want to pay all the way up for him? In a week where we're talking about tight end is gross, I think it's either Waller or I'm probably punting the position and going low, like with Rudolph and other options we're going to discuss for this week. You go over to the Jets side. I'm not going to play Jamison Crowder. I'm off that train. The best corner that the Raiders have is in the slot. Crowder's not been getting the usage. I'm either going to go with Mims or Perriman here. I think you can make a case for either one of them because depending on what you're looking at, they both move around the formation a good amount. If you're looking at red zone targets, Perriman has 9, Mims 8. End zone targets, they're the same. Deep targets, they're the same. So really it comes down to me as where does my roster build leave? Like, where do I have salary? If I need, like, if Mims is the only guy that I can fit in as that last player with a pairing here and I can't get up to Perriman, that's fine. If I have the salary, I'll play Perriman. I'll have exposure to both of these guys this week because I'm saying you're literally flipping a coin. I like both of them. They both have downfield roles, and the Raiders have been terrible versus deep passing. I'm off of – we haven't talked about Devontae Booker. I think he's in play. We haven't talked about Booker enough, I think. I think he'll be popular considering his price tag. People are looking at it. I'm really curious where his ownership comes in at versus David Montgomery this week. I'm curious if both of them are popular or if they eat into each other and we see both of them come in that 15 or 10% or people are going to just – go with Montgomery, who's coming off of, I could say, a big game considering the rest of his game logs. But, Meany, what are your thoughts here, man? Are you willing to stack this game up? Any plays that you're, like, extremely high on or that you're going to be overweight on here?
Yeah, I think you guys, you know, hit on most of it. I think this is a sneaky little fantasy game. I find myself liking it, which is not always the best thing when, you know, you like the Jets and – you know, Vegas didn't look great last week, but I think they bounced back. You know, honestly, I think a lot of people went to Carr and Waller last week and it didn't work out. And I think they'll just say what you said, D-Bro. F that, man. Screw it. I'm not going back to it. I will go back. I like Ruggs. I'm going to take a shot on Henry Ruggs. I'd like to see Agholor play and suit up so I can get a little bit of ownership with Ruggs because I think people are going to be taking shots at him from everything that you said. I mean, you look at his A-dot, it's the highest among any wide receiver with at least 31 targets. Now, he hasn't really been involved. Last week, I thought he should have had a touchdown. The drop was on him. Carr kind of threw it behind him. They just haven't been able to get on the same page. And you know, Adam and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Everything that we thought, you know, Ruggs was going to be, it's been Agholor this year. He's been getting the deep threats, the deep balls. He's been catching, you know, most of the balls that have been thrown his way. But I still think Ruggs is that big play waiting to happen in this matchup against the Jets. And maybe, who knows? I'm interested in Booker. I like Montgomery more. There's other backs in that 5K range that I like a little bit more. But it's not a lock that Booker's going to be able to come in here and have success running the football. He does have a couple games. You know, you look week 10, 16 for 81. That game was completely out of hand, and he had all the run late. The same sort of deal with the Chargers. And in Cleveland, they just played keep away in the second half against the Browns. It's not a lock that he's going to be able to come in and have success on the ground. And if he can't, you know, maybe that just means more Carr to, you know, to Ruggs. Or I am interested in Waller, too. There's no Kelsey on this slate. So I think if you're a cash game player, you just find a way to get Waller in. Use some, you know, some of the value, you know, across other spots, like wide receivers and running backs we're going to talk about, and just roll out Waller. I mean, he is by far the safest tight end on the slate. Like, I like TJ Hawkinson, but this is just a guy who doesn't have the same sort of upside that Waller can bring you. He can get you 20 plus DK points, and then, you know, you're well on your way. On the Jets side, I like both Perriman and Mims. I'm going to lean Mims, you know, at least 7 targets in 3 straight games. I think he has the better matchup. Not so much interested in Renfro. I do see it, but I'm just looking for the big plays. I'm looking for Ruggs, and, you know, I think he could potentially break the slate. I just think that there could be a lot of points in this game for whatever reason. You know, we could see 40 plus points easily. I mean, total's at 47.
And Frank Gore scoring 2 touchdowns.
Oh my god! Don't go there.
Listen, before people make fun of me, like, I don't love Frank Gore as much as it sounds. Like, I'm mostly just messing with D-Bro, but like, if you're in a cash game or something and you have, what, 4,400 left for a flex, like, he's not the worst option. But like I said, I mostly play tournaments, so Frank Gore will not be in any of my lineups because I can get 12 points elsewhere.
Well, and I think, like, we're talking about, like, everything Meany said about Waller, I think is definitely, it's all absolutely true. And we're talking about many correlations around other stacks. If you want to get in Waller, I get he's pricey, I get he's the top tight end. I understand every bit of that, and people are like, yeah, but considering, I mean, dude, I can tell you on this slate, nobody carries a ceiling as high as Waller, and if we're shooting for ceiling at GPPs, nobody has a ceiling. It's just a fact.
He's been a major letdown, too.
He has. He's been a letdown, man, but, like, if you're looking at, we're talking about pairings, I mean, Mims at 4,100, Perriman at 3,900, you're looking at the correlation and you're playing both those guys. It's not expensive to correlate the two. Like, pick a Jets wide receiver that fits, play Waller on the other side, and it's not expensive to make that happen. Any other thoughts on this game, gentlemen, before we move on?
None for me.
Nah.
All right, man. So Cleveland is heading to Tennessee. The over-under is set at 53.5. The Titans are favored by 5.5 in this contest. Meany, kick this off, man. What do you like out of this game? I think this game is very stack worthy.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of people just assume it's going to be, you know, slow pace, you know, just Henry and Chubb, you know, the Henry and Chubb show, both of these guys running. Sure, they're both going to probably top 100 yards in the ground. That's not breaking any news, but I think that this could be a sneaky fantasy game. You know, you got Tannehill. I just like the way that this Titans offense, it's one of the few teams that you can just really, you just know what you're going to get with them. You know, they're going to run the ball with Henry. They're going to use the play action pass. They're going to take some shots with Brown. And, you know, Corey Davis, it doesn't get enough love, I think, you know, not just from the DFS community, you know, from the season long standpoint as well. This is a guy who's priced at 5-1. His ownership in Yahoo leagues is below 60%. It's been there all year. And dude has double digit fantasy points in every single game but one. And the one game came in Chicago. He's been pretty consistent in terms of just maybe 60 yards or a touchdown. The touchdowns haven't been there. I like Tannehill as maybe just getting away from, you know, Henry. Like I said earlier, I don't know if this is a week to spend up on running backs. If I had to choose between one of the two, it's actually Chubb, just because I think we'll get, you know, a little bit of a lower ownership with him. You got the fear of Kareem Hunt. He doesn't catch a lot of balls out of the backfield despite 3 grabs last week. But this guy, since he's been back, has been an absolute freaking stud, man. 58 carries, almost 400 rushing yards, 2 TDs. There was one game a couple weeks ago where everyone's like, yeah, Adam, you and I talked about this, remember?
Yeah,
it was always Kareem Hunt.
Meany broke the news. I didn't even notice this.
It was Hunt. Why was Hunt getting all those red zone carries in a row and he was getting stuffed? Well, Chubb was just on the sidelines switching out a contact lens. It was just bad luck. I mean, he lost his shoe earlier on the drive. This guy has been a freak. 100 yards in 5 straight games that he's finished. The game against Dallas, he had 6 for 43. He left early. Week 1 against Baltimore, that game was completely out of hand, but he had 60 yards on 10 carries. I really like Chubb. Again, it's just, it's not going to be my strategy this week to spend up for Henry and Chubb. Maybe I'm wrong there. I'd rather take some shots on, you know, a Tannehill and Brown. Not so much into Landry off the big week last week. I don't really love his spot this week, but I think there's going to be a lot of points scored here. So, I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about these two backs. I'm going to take the value at running back this week.
Adam, are you going to play any Derrick Henry? Like, the Browns have been more pliable on the ground as far as their run defense in the last few weeks. But Tennessee is dealing with a lot of injuries on their offensive line, man. Like, Saffold hasn't practiced this week so far, walking into as we're recording this. Mm-hmm. As well as, we know Jonnu Smith. We haven't discussed him yet. He has logged DMPs. He's got a knee injury. Dennis Kelly, limited practice, and then was the DMP on Thursday. I mean, Isaiah Wilson also is dealing with an illness and DMP. Do you have any interest in Derrick Henry, especially at his price tag, or are you just going to go with the pass catchers? And talk to me about other options here.
9,200 is a lot. There was a report that came out that Mike Vrabel was like, yeah, we need to throw Derrick Henry the ball more. And I'm like, I still don't like take a ton of stock into that. I like, if I'm spending for one of the backs in this game, I'm probably gonna go to Chubb, because the way these two are used is very, like, these are two extremely similar running backs, right? They both are first and second in 15 plus yard runs this year. Chubb leads the NFL in 20 plus yard runs and has missed like five games. They both have very limited pass catching potential, and they're both probably the two best pure runners in the NFL. So I think it's really interesting to watch. I like Chubb more just because you get a lot of savings going down to him. Like Manny talked about, he's been so good since returning from injury. He's played three games. He's had 100 yards in, at least in all three of those games. During that span, he's second in rushing yards, first in yards after contact per attempt, second in avoided tackles per attempt. Cleveland's going to run the ball, you know, at one of the highest rates in the NFL. And Tennessee's defense hasn't been good. I mean, they're like, I think this could be a game where Chubb can get in the box a couple times. Tennessee's red zone defense has been awful. They are allowing a touchdown on 72% of their red zone trips, third worst rate in the NFL. So I would lean Chubb over Henry just because you save a lot going down to him. But I'd also agree that this is a great spot for these Tennessee receivers on the other side. Denzel Ward, not expected to play. Greedy Williams still doesn't have a timetable for his return. And I just think A.J. Brown and Corey Davis should be able to do whatever they want here. I mean, A.J. Brown's going to see, what, Terrence Mitchell, who has like a 4.6 340, and they're just depleted. They're not going to be able to run with these guys. I like Tannehill. I know Humphreys is practicing in full with the concussion, or from the concussion. He should be back, but especially Davis at 5,100. I actually like Corey Davis a lot. D-Bro and I talked about him on the Injuries to Monitor podcast. I think they're both in great spots, especially if Jonnu's out. I like it. I like it a lot. And then for Cleveland, like, I love the matchup for Austin Hooper. The Titans have been awful against tight ends. The problem I have is the Browns last week, they ran three tight ends 24% of the time, which is a massive number considering the next highest team in terms of three tight end personnel was at 10%. So they had a lot of Njoku on the field, a lot of Harrison Bryant on the field, and a lot of Hooper. So like at 3,800, I love the matchup for him. But if they're becoming like the Colts where they use three tight ends, and that's going to be less appealing. And you can go down to Robert Tonyan at 37 or Kyle Rudolph at 34, and I'll probably feel better about those guys.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in on Hooper in recent weeks, and I've loved him. But yes, I think it's very notable. I will have some Hooper exposure, probably only in a game stack in this one. But outside of that, I don't think that he's one-off viable, or am I willing to play him outside of that scenario? Because like you're talking about, Adam, Hooper ran 17 routes, Harrison Bryant ran 16. I've heard a lot of talk about Anthony Firkser this week, and I'm not going there, man. Like, we're talking about tight ends, and I know people want to talk about men and being able to save salary. There are other guys that are like, it's not more expensive to, like, pay up $500 and get freaking Kyle Rudolph versus somebody like Firkser. Like, that's not that much. And Jeff Swaim ran routes last week. Like, the Titans are – if Jonnu is even out – I think Firkser could be popular or trend that way because people are looking to save salary, and I'm not going to do it. I'm just not. I don't want to go that direction. I love the Titans' passing attack for all of the reasons y'all have stated. Like, Cleveland's secondary is terrible. They moved their horrible slot corner, Kevin Johnson, last week out to the perimeter with Denzel Ward out. That dude has been terrible all year.
80% catch rate, yeah, and he's probably gonna see Davis, which I'm in on that.
Oh dude, I'm all in on that. So I love this game. I don't think that I'm gonna have a lot of Derrick Henry. I think that, like, I was all in on him last week, but if his offensive line is depleted by injuries, Does that give you some concern on Tennessee? Yes, I mean, a little bit. I think it's more concern for Henry than it is for the passing attack, because Tannehill's not taking a ton of deep shots. Like, that's not what this offense is predicated on. It's on play action, it's on short, it's on yards after the catch. And I do want to bring this up here real fast. I think if you're stacking this game and people are so into Firkser, Adam Humphries is actually practicing in full. He has not played since who knows when. If you're looking for a cheap guy to go with Tannehill, give me Humphries at 3,200. I actually have some interest in him in game stacks here, because Humphries, when he's been on the field, man, it's not like he's been bad. He hasn't been terrible. If you want to debate his ceiling, I absolutely understand that. But the guy is going to get short area targets. If he gets a bump because if Jonnu doesn't play, if Firkser's splitting snaps with other tight ends, like, you have Humphries in the last few games when he's played, like week 6, 6 for 64 and a touchdown, he had 18.4 points. Week 2, he had 15. Week 1, he had 6 for 47. If he gets to the end zone there, then again, at 3.2, like, at that price, if you stack him up, or hell, even if you want to, like, correlate him with Chubb on the other side really, really cheaply, and you're getting leverage off of, I've heard a lot of talk about Firkser this week. Nobody's going to play Humphries, man. I bet you he carries half the ownership. Not even that much of what Firkser does. I think that he's viable in this game, but am I crazy, Beanie?
No, I don't think you're crazy. I think it makes a lot of sense if there's no Jonnu. I'm not in on Firkser at all. I don't get it. I think you said it beautifully when you mentioned Swaim. I mean, he had the 3 targets, 3 catches, and 30 yards last week, and Firkser had 1 target. I mean, I don't think that's an automatic play. I mean, yeah, you look at – I think you go back to week 6 and you see the big game from him where you had a hit the century mark and had 9 targets and 8 grabs. But you definitely can't count on a guy that's going to come in here and get 5 or 6 targets. It doesn't make any sense. But I think you're actually on to something with Humphries. You know, you look at those first 4 games, which you alluded to. I mean, 21 catches, 26 targets, at least 40 yards in, you know, each of those games. And he hit the – you know, he had a touchdown in 2 of the 4. So, like I said earlier, this could be a sneaky little – I just don't think it's going to be Henry and Chubb. Run, 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 run. I think, you know, we may see the offense open up a little bit. And the reason I think that is because what you alluded to as well, D-Bro, with the offensive line. I think that Tannehill and company, they're going to have to throw the ball and push the pace, because I think they can. They're going to find holes in the secondary. They're going to be able to take shots deep down the field. And I think that this game could open up and we could definitely see 50-plus points.
Before we move on to this next game, just to sum this all up and put a bow on top of this present. They made Mike Glennon look like a serviceable NFL quarterback last week.
That's right.
That's it. That's all I need to tell you to wrap this up for you. And if people are going to say, well, Tannehill's not really a sexy name, they let Mike Glennon throw for over 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's all you need to know. All right, moving on. So Detroit is heading to Chicago. The over-under is set at 45. Chicago is favored by 3. Meanie, dear God in heaven, we're here. We've arrived. Are you willing to eat the chalk with David Montgomery this week? And tell me your thoughts on this game.
Yeah, it's Montgomery chalk is – it makes you sick. It really does, because he hasn't been great in 2 years. You know, last week was nice to see. The thing with Montgomery is you can't really get a running back at 5'5 that's going to play 85% of the snaps. Mm-hmm. And get all the work in the passing attack. And he's getting it. I mean, this guy is running routes. He's been huge. You guys know this. Your listeners know this. Ever since Tariq Cohen was down, I mean, this guy is near the top and running routes every single week. Last week, 6 targets, 5 grabs. I mean, you have to go all the way back to week 1 where he hadn't had 2 catches in a game. And for the most part, it's 5, 3, 4. He had 1 game against the Bucks where he had 7 grabs. He's going to get all the work. He's going to get all the work in the red zone. Trubisky, you know, is not great, clearly, but he checked down to him a few times. And if you just look at Detroit overall, I mean, it doesn't get any better than this in terms of matchups. I mean, they've allowed the most rushing touchdowns. They're top 10 rush DVOA defense. They've allowed the most fantasy points. They've allowed the 5th most rushing yards per game. They're not a great defense. This team just, maybe they'll step up this week with Patricia getting fired, but I just don't think they have the personnel. I just don't think they have the talent to be able to step up and have like a solid game, even against Trubisky. So I'll eat some of the chalk. I can't ignore him at 5-5. You know, if I'm going to be playing some cash, I'll probably plug him in, to be honest. But this matchup is, it's pretty solid, man. Like last week, I think he was fresh. He missed the game, concussion, then there was a bye. He comes in, and he really just takes advantage of a Green Bay defense that can't stop the run. So I think this is a very similar situation. I expect him to touch the ball 15 times. I like the price. It's hard to ignore, and that's kind of why I'm leaning away from spending up at the top at running back. So Montgomery and Allen Robinson, both of these guys, I think, are pretty safe plays in cash.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to go overweight on David Montgomery exposure. I'll probably be a little bit underweight. Like, if I'm running, I usually, in most weeks, it's 3 to 5 lineups. He'll probably make one of my lineups. I'm not going to go over that. Just, mm-hmm. I'm not even willing to match the field. I get it, man. Like, I think that the matchup is definitively there. I won't go overweight on him. I think there are some other guys we're going to get to in the 5K range that make really interesting pivots, because if Montgomery doesn't get there, then if you are in that 5K range for running backs and another guy hits, then I think that you could, I mean, that's, again, we're talking about taking GPPs down here. That's another way where you get there. I'm really curious because I've heard a lot of talk about Montgomery. I've also heard a lot of hate, and people are like, I'm really kind of curious on how popular, if it does come in popular, because, you know, people look at the matchups and stuff like that. That still doesn't mean that they're going to want to click him and put him in a lineup and put American dollars behind his name. So, you know, I'm really curious if he actually does come in to be popular this week. His involvement in the pass game is one of the reasons why I will have exposure and not full fade him. He tied with Austin Eckler last week with the most routes run amongst all running backs. And it's notable here because Detroit is 32nd. They're not middle of the road. They're not 25th. They're not 20th. They're 32nd in DVOA against pass-catching running backs. So I for those reasons, I will have some exposure to Montgomery. I love Allen Robinson. I think he's definitively in play. I like Marv. I don't love Marv in this spot. I'm not worried so much about the Bears corners, because Jalen Johnson, since week 7, 60% catch rate, 114 passer rating. He started off the year playing immensely well, but since then has really fallen off some, shown the fact that he's a rookie, as well as Marvin Jones is going to get some slot time. Usually around 30% of his snaps are in the slot, which, that's a free pass, dude. Buster Screen is terrible. We've talked about him in recent weeks. Teams love to pick on this man, and for damn good reason. 77% catch rate allowed, 4 touchdowns, and a 121 passer rating in his coverage. Adam, what are your thoughts here, man? Are you going with Montgomery? Is it a Marv week?
Yeah, I'm going to have plenty of Dave Montgomery. Just like Meany said, it's hard to find a running back at 5-5 where he's going to play at least 80% of the snaps and get, you know, 20 touches. And the Lions, I mean, they just, you know, 1.5 rushing touchdowns per game they allow. It's tied for the most in the league. So he should be at least a really strong floor. I actually have to go now because I'm going to be playing Mitchell Trubisky. So I'll see you guys later. I'm out.
I also don't hate that either. I mean, you're looking.
I don't hate it.
If there's one thing about Trubisky, it's that he's been good enough in fantasy and really good matchups, and he smashed this team that was healthy in week 1 for nearly 25 fantasy points. He's 5,400. And you know who to pair him with. Just pair. The problem I have is, like, if you run it back, I guess you run it back with Marv. I'm like lukewarm on Marv. I think he's fine, assuming Galladay's ruled out, which I'm surprised I didn't put him on the IR because he hasn't practiced in so long. But, like, at 5,700, like, he's perfectly fine if you want to run it back. It's just there's receivers around his price range I like a little more. And we talked about, like, I like Corey Davis more at, you know, $600 cheaper. DeAndre Swift, we got to talk about him. He cleared the concussion protocol, didn't practice Thursday with an illness. But if he's good to go, I probably don't get a lot of exposure to him, especially with Akeem Hicks back at practice for the Bears. But he will be the focal point of their offense. I mean, Adrian Peterson said it a couple weeks ago. He's like, I don't know what took so long for him to get that role. So I just think even without Matt Patricia there, like, they're still going to be a team that runs the ball on early downs a lot more than we want. But at least if they're doing it with DeAndre Swift, it's a little bit more exciting. But yeah, like most of my interest from this game comes from the Bears. I mean, I like Trubisky and Allen Robinson. Montgomery's fine, but like that's another thing. If Montgomery's going to be popular, there's an obvious path to him being underwhelming or bad as a chalk play. And if that's the case and he's popular, you know, you could pivot to Trubisky and Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, so I think the Lions side is really interesting here because with Swift, with all these different reports coming out, I mean, I'm really curious what other news we get, like in his practice participation. I know that he was cleared from protocol, but I just got, oh man, like all of these varying reports. I'm curious, one, where his roster percentage comes in, and I do have a few concerns about his workload considering what all the things that we've heard. Now, I know we talked about this before the mics come turned on. If Ian Rappaport tweets out on Sunday that he's getting, he's going to split snaps with Peterson, then, I mean, I've got to lock DeAndre Swift. It just is what it is, man. Like, he's getting 40 touches if that happens. So I'll be more in on Swift. I know I'm joking here, but I'm serious. Like, if that comes out, people are going to gravitate away from him. You see his roster percentage probably going to drop some more. We've seen it in every single iteration of a running back coming back from injury, illness, all of these different things. The guys don't come back to decoys roles. Like, that's not what happens.
Yeah, and especially, like, concussions are no joke. And, and you got to take them seriously. And Peterson said he wasn't looking like himself, which when I saw that, I was like, that's the case. Just sit him down and let him make sure he has a long career. But
right. He
cleared, and if he's good to go and he's cleared, you're not going to aggravate a concussion like you would aggravate an ankle injury. So it's like, yeah, like if he's active and the illness isn't a thing or whatever and he's good to go, then he's good to go. And he's going to get the workload that we at least expected and probably the workload we thought or we saw in his last game against Washington where he started.
Yeah, that was a career high for him. I mean, he had 21 attempts, 16 rushing attempts. The thing that I like the most about Swift is, yeah, even with Patricia, and it's been frustrating because they haven't really unleashed him apart from that game. And then maybe, you know, I think week 6 he had double-digit carries as well. But, I mean, it's basically been 5 targets every single game. It's been 4 in every single one but one. So I like the usage through the air. I was just taking a look, you know, because we both had mentioned that Detroit had allowed the most rushing touchdowns, and then Debro was talking about, you know, how much they struggle against backs who can catch. They've allowed the most receiving touchdowns as well. There's only been 2 games this year where they haven't allowed a running back to score a touchdown, and one of them just happened to be against Dave Montgomery and Tariq Cohen in week 1.
Fade him.
But just interesting, every single week it seems like not even just one, 2.
The ghost of Duke Johnson caught a passing touchdown last week, if that tells you anything.
Exactly, yeah. So I have no problem, you know, eating a little bit of chalk with Montgomery.
And before we move on, just I got to mention it here. If we're talking about Trubisky and stuff, I'm not willing. I can't, man. Like, I've been burned too many damn times. I can't play Darnell Mooney in this spot. I understand the ceiling. I absolutely get it. Him and Anthony Miller, if I'm going to go with Trubisky and I'm going to play him, I'm probably just going to skinny it up. I'll run Trubisky if you want to get – because we're talking about all the pass game correlation. Hell, I would rather go Trubisky, David Montgomery, and Allen Robinson over playing Anthony Miller or Mooney. But real quick, Adam, am I crazy? Meany, am I insane for saying that?
No, those are the 3 you want.
Okay. Yep. All right, man, moving over to the Saints are heading to play the Falcons. We get – Taysom Hill versus Atlanta 2.0. The over-under is set at 45. The Saints are favored by 3. I actually don't really have a lot of interest in this game. If Julio is out, Matt Ryan has been nothing short of god-awful when it's been only one of these wide receivers. I think Calvin Ridley gets really popular in that scenario. And we've seen Ridley, yes, if he gets a lot of volume, then he's gonna have a productive day. The only thing about it is it comes into how popular he gets. There are also, like we saw last week, he caught the touchdown, but he didn't even go past 100 yards. So if you're talking about a popular wide receiver who's not cheap against a defense who's been playing immensely well over the last few weeks, And they destroyed Atlanta the first time. I think the other thing we need to monitor here is Marcus Davenport's dealing with concussion. If he doesn't play, his return to the lineup has been one of the keys for the Saints in pressuring quarterbacks. And you see their pressure rate climb on a weekly basis. If he's out, I think that helps Matt Ryan a ton. But all in all, this game is probably just one that I'm more likely avoiding. I'm really concerned with Alvin Kamara. I know Michael Thomas is getting a ton of targets, but Atlanta has been playing way better. I've spit my love or lack of this week for Calvin Ridley. But Meany, what do you think here, man? Do you like this game more than I'm even getting to, or is it kind of an avoid? Because I've heard people talk about Alvin Kamara, and if he comes in really low on this week, like, I get it, but I can't go there, dude. Like, I can't.
Yeah, it's hard to. I mean, the only way I would do it is if I'm playing more than 10 lineups. Like, if I'm putting together 10 lineups, Kamara's not in any of them.
What a time.
I know. Isn't it nuts? I mean, he's the cheapest he's ever been on DraftKings. Yeah, it sucks. I mean, we all like Kamara. He's unbelievable. It's tough. I mean, 6 DK points last week, 10 the week before. I would imagine his ownership is probably at an all-time low. I mean, last week nobody wanted to play him, and if you took a shot at him thinking, you know, I'll get him low ownership, maybe he'll be a little bit more involved. I mean, you took it on the chin. It was brutal. I mean, 7-2 week one. Other than that, this guy has been priced as, you know, he was up in the 9K range, and now he's 7K. And, you know, the last two games, I think a lot of people know this, but just to really hammer this point home, the two games with Taysom Hill, I mean, Murray's got 31 carries, Kamara's got 24. Murray has 173 rushing yards, Kamara's 99. They each have three targets. Murray's caught all three of them for 38 yards, and Kamara's caught one of those three targets for -2. Murray has two touchdowns, Kamara has one. The snaps are pretty much even. Kamara has three more, and the red zone touches are 7-4 in favor of Latavius Murray. So you got to go all the way back to 2018, I believe, the last time Kamara had 100 yards on the ground. He's not that type of runner. I mean, if they wanted to give him 20-plus carries, I'm sure he could get there, but they're not going to do that. I don't think he's fully 100% healthy. I think this is going to be another game like 2 weeks ago where they just smashed the Falcons. It was 24-9. They got a ton of pressure on Matt Ryan. They sacked him 8 times. Atlanta wasn't able to move the ball. They're not going to be able to run the ball, even Gurley plays, whatever. It doesn't matter who's a running back there. I mean, Ito Smith got more work than Brian Hill, was better than Brian Hill last week. Ito Smith is not great. This Saints defense is phenomenal. So I just don't see a path where Kamara is getting 5 to 6 targets. And if he's not getting 5 or 6 targets, then he's not a high-end RB1. That's just the way it is, unfortunately. It pains me to even say it. You want to get ultra-contrarian, go ahead. But it's not for me. I don't think I'll play anybody, really, from this matchup.
I want to bring this up real fast.
Not playing
because I don't know if Adam... I was going to ask you, is Latavius Murray even in play at 5'9"?
Not for me.
Not.
No.
Okay.
Not when you can play
Booker. I agree. I don't disagree at all.
Like, here's my problem with the Saints. Other than the fact that they're not using Kamara the same, they're not running him on those angle routes where he just destroys linebackers and gets 20 yards, and the fact that Taysom Hill has 4 carries inside the 5 over the last 2 games and Kamara has 2.
Yeah, it's another thing.
We have yet to see, since Taysom Hill has been the quarterback, the Saints be challenged, right? They destroyed and dominated the Falcons. I don't even know if that game was as close as a 24-9 score indicated.
It wasn't.
Then we saw what happened last week when the Broncos, not their fault, but they just had no obvious offensive game plan. They couldn't do anything. And Taysom Hill even came out and said the Saints' entire offensive philosophy changed when that news broke. And they said, all right, you know, we're going to just run the ball. They had 25 combined pass attempts between the two teams. So, like, Kamara's been 48% of the snaps the last 2 weeks, where like, I talk about this all the time, but he's usually, like, a 65% snap guy. I wonder if it's, like, I think his foot injury is, like, legit. Like, it's not, like, anything that's going to keep him out or anything. But when they're in situations where they don't need to run him out there, like we saw last week where he barely played in the second half, like, exactly. There's no reason for him to play 65% of the snaps. So, if I want to see how he's used when the Saints are challenged in the game. I don't know if that's going to be this week. And all of a sudden, like Meany said, like, we already know Kamara's not getting 20 carries really ever in a game, unless Latavius is out. And even then, he still might not get there. And now if he's losing goal line touches and receptions, like, it sucks. Like, like there's no reason we should be in 2020. I guess maybe the fact that it is 2020 is the reason this is happening. But, like, oh, Alvin Kamara 7K against the Falcons, and we're all in agreement, like, I don't want to play him. But it's, like,
it's crazy.
It's so frustrating to watch, too, because, like, it's not like Taysom Hill's out here just, like, you know, dominating. Like, the only way I would play Alvin Kamara right now is if Taysom Hill got benched for Jameis Winston, and that's not happening. So, yeah. It sucks, but, like, in season, even then, in season long, you're not benching him, but...
Normally, we would be talking about him being 9-8 and wondering if we would play him, against the Falcons team who struggles to, you know, stop running backs for years out of the backfield.
I think the biggest thing for me is that I just don't think Alvin Kamara is healthy. Like, I don't think that he is close to healthy. I think they're limiting him because as a team that's marching towards the playoffs, if Breeze isn't going to be back there, are they going to need Kamara when things get real and it's playoff time? Yes. So I think that the defense is playing extremely well. If Kamara's not healthy, then they just don't need him. Like, I get that there are ways to be contrarian on a weekly basis. This is just not one that I'm going to go with, man. And for all the reasons we've talked about, is it absolute insanity that we are not willing to play him or that we don't have a ton of interest considering where his price is? Yes. But like we've talked about at the beginning of the show, I'm a psycho, so I'm not going to go with a Kamara. So moving on, Cincinnati is heading to Miami. The over-under is set at 42.5. The Dolphins are favored by 11.5. Meanie, what are your thoughts here?
Well, if Fitzpatrick plays, I mean, it's hard for me not to play Devontae Parker. I mean, it's just when Fitzpatrick plays, Parker eats. He gets targets. You can go all the way back to last year with Preston Williams not playing again this time. There's just not a lot of options in the passing game. Heck, Gesicki showed up last week, right? Because of Fitz. It's very simple. I'm not interested in Cincinnati at all on the other side. I don't think there's any reason to get involved. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if Gasson is going to suit up in this game, if he's going to play. If he does play, I probably won't get there either at 5'9". And, you know, last week I thought Breda was going to get a little bit more involved. I mean, he played 12 of the first 15 snaps and then hardly touched the field again. It was all DeAndre Washington. It was Washington getting targets out of the backfield. He had 5. It was Washington getting all the goal line and red zone work. Not saying that I'm interested in him. I'm just thinking that this is still a muddy backfield. Even if Gaskin does return, I think it could be, one to stay away from. But I like Parker's price. Again, if it's two, I just won't go there. But if it's Fitz under center at 6'4" for Parker, even against a Bengals team which Miami probably will roll and maybe just slow the pace down like they're used to doing and running the football, I still think he can probably get 9 to 12 targets and hit that century mark, score a touchdown, return value for you. It's really the only player I'm interested in this game.
Yeah, for me, I think Parker sticks out like a sore thumb. I mean, I think he's going to see about 40%, 50% of LaShawn Sims. And LaShawn Sims has been terrible. I mean, 4 touchdowns allowed, 129 passer rating. If Fitzpatrick plays, I have interest in Parker, even at his price tag. If Tua is the quarterback, then I'm probably just Xing out of this game. Like, I don't have a lot of interest in it. But I do want to bring up Mike Gesicki here. Cincinnati has allowed the most receiving yards to tight ends, the 8th most touchdowns. If Fitzpatrick plays, I do think it's viable to double stack Fitzpatrick and go with Parker and Gesicki, just because we're talking about tight end and how terrible it is. The matchup is there for him. On the Cincinnati side, I was in on T. Higgins last week. I don't think I'm probably going to go that route. I think it's viable to stack Fitzpatrick and not run it back in this one, especially considering where the line is. I just don't want to attack Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. Byron Jones, yes, per the numbers. Has he been more susceptible this year? Sure. But Byron Jones plays bigger wide receivers extremely well. He can get physical. He can press them at the line. So considering that, plus Brandon Allen is not great, I probably won't play a Bengal in this one. I'm curious about practice reports because I might have some interest in Gaskin. The matchup is fantastic.
It is.
DeAndre Washington has logged DMPs for the last 2 days. Salvin Ahmad is dealing with a shoulder issue. If Gaskin comes back, I think there is a range of outcomes where he could be the guy. Again, this is we're talking about monitoring reports all the way up to Sunday. But if you're telling me that Gaskin's not going to carry hardly any ownership versus other guys that are going to be more popular in that range that carry risk, like we haven't even gotten to this game yet, but like with Jonathan Taylor, Devontae Booker at 5'5", David Montgomery at 5'5", if Gaskin's going to carry half the ownership or even more, then I might have some interest in him. But again, this is something we got to monitor all the way up to Sunday and see what is going to be what in that backfield. Because if Gaskin's going to be the dude, or if those other guys are out, we know this team does not want to play Matt Breida, like, period. Yeah. Like, if they hated Jordan Howard and they cut this man, they hate Matt Breida just as much because they're not giving him any run, any opportunity. Adam, thoughts here, man?
Yeah, it's really just kind of like a Parker Fitzpatrick thing if Fitzpatrick's the quarterback. Three games this year with Preston Williams out, Devontae Parker is averaging 70 receiving yards, 5.5 receptions, and 10 targets per game. So you feel good about that. If I had to pick one Bengal, it would be Tyler Boyd at 4,700 because the slot's been where you attack Miami, but you obviously don't feel great about it given the state of their offense right now. So this game's probably the least appealing of the slate.
Yeah, it's easy to forget how decent Gaskin was, you know, in one stretch there. I think it was a 5-game stretch where this guy was, I mean, double-digit fantasy points was a lock. I mean, he had the 20 the 1 week against San Fran, 18 carries in back-to-back games before he left. He's been, you know, involved through the air. I mean, every single game he has 3 catches. Every single game he has at least 4 targets. So he was a guy, you know, doing the touches and targets on Monday at FTNFantasy.com he was always near the top in just terms of snaps, usage, targets, carries, all the goal line work besides Jordan Howard in the first couple weeks. But I just think it's completely risky. But I don't know, D-Bro, like he practiced all week last week. I was surprised to see him not play. I think he plays this week.
I think he plays, and I think in a range of outcomes, and we're talking about playing the ownership game. Dude, I think there's a range of outcomes where he could be the guy walking back in. Because Miami's shown us they want one guy, too. Yeah. Like, Gaskin was the dude. When Gaskin went out, Salvin Ahmad, when he was healthy, was the dude back there. So can Gaskin walk back into this running back room and be the guy, especially considering if Washington's out and the other guys that are there? I think it's possible. That's all I'm going to say here. And if David Montgomery is going to be the uber mega chalk this week, because we still got to see where roster percentages kind of shake out on Saturday night, Sunday morning. If he's going to be the uber mega chalk and Gaskin carries a third, hell, even more, if he's even lower on this week, then I'll have Gaskin a lot more interest in him. If my builds are leaning that I need a 5K running back to kind of make everything work, as well, you know, I think it's in play, man. I think it's definitely in play. Moving over to Indianapolis is heading to Houston. The over-under set at 50.5. Indy is favored by 3.5. We do have breaking news. DeForest Buckner has been activated off the COVID-19 list, so he will be back. Thoughts here, Adam. What do you think out of this game? First run of this, I thought Watson was going to be popular. I thought Brandon Cooks is going to be immensely popular. Do you think he's going to be the chalk this week?
Who, Cooks?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he'll be the chalk. And I have concerns about Watson. I mean, he should still be a high floor guy, but Will Fuller being out is massive because his splits were already significant without Will Fuller when they had DeAndre Hopkins. And clearly they don't have Hopkins, obviously, anymore. Not to mention Randall Cobb's on IR. Kenny Stills isn't on the team, so his pass catchers against a good Colts defense in this game are going to be Brandon Cooks, Kiki QT, and the tight ends, and the running backs. It's not ideal. So I definitely have some concerns about Deshaun Watson. Usually each week I just play him and move on because I love Deshaun Watson and I love what he's done since the bye, or since the firing of Bill O'Brien. But I honestly right now, like, I'll probably have some exposure to Cooks and maybe you go to, down to Kiki QT at 3,500, given the fact that there's just no other receivers there. But I'm not crazy about this Texans offense without Will Fuller. I think they're going to struggle in this game a little bit, and I just don't know how they stretch the field without Will Fuller in this game. Not to mention, like, they don't have Kenny Stills either. Like, Brandon Cooks, yeah, he's a guy you can get down the field, but, like, he's your top target. Do you want him running just a bunch of downfield stuff all game? Probably not.
So, my thoughts in this game, I'm not stacking this game up. Like, I originally I had some psychotic thoughts about playing Phillip Rivers. I have since moved on to more rational thoughts this week. I don't want Rivers, although I do like the spots that his wide receivers are in this week. Michael Pittman and even the ghost of T.Y. Hilton is in a good spot this week, because the Houston corners have been terrible, man. Like, they ran out Keon Croson last week on the outside in his entire career. 85% catch rate, 112 pass rating allowed. T.Y. Hilton also, either one of these receivers are going to see Vernon Hargraves on the outside, who's been terrible. 59 targets, 40 catches allowed. I don't think either one of these corners should scare you. I'm more likely to play some mini correlations out of this game. I don't want to play Brandon Cooks if he's going to be the uber chalk. Like, I think that he could come in above 20%. And when you start to get in that 20 to 25% range of wide receiver, especially at a guy at 5K, like, I'm just going to probably fade it. And I just don't think that he's – I think the targets will be there. But Indy as well knows that, like, he's mainly the guy that they're going to try to get involved here. And I think that people are going to go to Cooks. They're even going to go to Kiki Kuti in this spot. The guy that I like a lot here, and I think is leverage, and when I say I like, on three of my five teams, I'm probably only going to run him once, maybe twice, because the price is just so, so awesome. As well as if Kuti does get some steam, he's leverage off of him, and that's Jordan Akins. Mm-hmm. You have Jordan Akins, who is running 38% out of the slot. If that upticks in this game, because he's had some usage more out of the slot in certain weeks, if that bumps up, Jordan Akins is going to see Kenny Moore in the slot, who is 5'9", 185. Jordan Akins is a mountain of a man compared to him at 6'3", 245. So can he win in the slot as well as over the middle of the field? Yes, Indy is really good at run defense. Yes, they are a good defense overall. Okereke might be out this week. Darius Leonard and Anthony Walker, as good as they are in run defense, they're not great in pass coverage, man. 60 targets, 49 catches allowed, 2 touchdowns. Darius Leonard, as great as he is giving up a 111 passer rating in coverage. So when you're looking at how can Houston attack this defense, I don't have any interest in David Johnson. I cannot go there, especially with the Buckner news. I've not played Duke Johnson in any week, even on Thanksgiving. I did not have any Duke Johnson. I'm not going to go back to the David Johnson well. I think that out of this game, it's Pittman, it's Hilton, and it's Akins for me, and I'm probably just moving on. But Meany, thoughts here?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Akins. I am more interested in him than Kiki. I think that a lot of people will just play QT, and I think that's fine. I mean, if you're looking for, you know, to come off of Cooks, but I agree with Adam 100%. I'm not interested in this offense. I think this is going to be bad news for Watson here down the stretch. I mean, if you have him in season long leagues and, you know, you could potentially be stuck with him. I think he's got the Bears, like, your first playoff matchup next week. Not ideal. And I don't like this spot either. It's just no Fuller. And really, where's the offense going to come from? I just don't think they're going to be able to run the football. We could see even Duke on the field the same time as David Johnson, and just maybe he's involved through the air too. It's not appealing at all. You know what? I'm interested in Taylor, and none of you guys talked about him.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask about.
Yeah,
next,
I mean, the last time we saw him,
I forgot to bring him up here. Tell me why you like him, Meany.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's coming back from the COVID list. Reportedly didn't have it. His girlfriend had it. The last time we saw him, week 11, I mean, he had 68% of his team's rushes. He had 22 carries, 90 yards, the most he had had since week 2.
Wait, did he have 90 rushing yards or 90 rushing yards called back via penalty?
Yeah, he could have easily, right? You and I chatted about this.
Bro,
I
think it was that so night after annoying.
That, he could have easily had, like,
the Colts 50. Almost lost that game because they had, like, 5 of their 6 rushing attempts just get called back. And they were, like, 6-yard runs. He had, like, a 15-yard touchdown called back. It was a bunch of, like, 4-plus yard runs just called back every single time.
He led the team in catches overall, right? I know they spread it out there in Indy, and that's the one issue that I have with just picking anybody. I mean, they got the 3 tight ends, and at least I want all the usage to go to Pittman. T.Y. shows up last week, scores a touchdown. There's just a lot going on there. But, he led all backs in catches. It doesn't seem like much, but he has 2 grabs in 6 straight games. Adam, you and I chatted weeks ago, mm-hmm. and we talked about Taylor for this stretch run. Right? Houston, Las Vegas, Houston. It doesn't get any better than Houston. 4.9 yards allowed per carry, number 1 in football. 31 fantasy points per game, number 2 in football. 40-plus runs, 3, just behind the Eagles at number 1 in football. The same thing with 20-plus runs, 10 of them, just behind Jacksonville, who is 12. Touchdowns allowed, rushing touchdowns allowed, top 5 in all of football, DVOA, rushing yards allowed per game, all the boxes, check, 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 all of them. And then you have the Frank Reich and the Wilkins and Hines, so there's still people who are hesitant to play him. You're going to get some people coming over from season long to play some DFS because they're out of their season long, and the reason they're out because they drafted Jonathan Taylor, so they're not going to play Taylor even at that price. I like him, and I think at 5'7", I'm really interested to see where Kyle has him in his ownership projections, because he's right there for me with Montgomery as guys that I think could break slates this week. And I just have a better feeling with Taylor because of what you said, Adam, with Houston's offense. I don't think they're going to be able to get it going. And if they can't get it going, maybe we'll see Taylor get 20 touches.
Yeah. Texans, 37.7% of the yards allowed by Houston have come via the run, 4th highest rate in the NFL. So it's a good spot for Taylor. For me, the Colts, it comes down to Taylor and T.Y. Hilton, like T-Bro mentioned, 4,300, finally scored last week. No Bradley Roby, so you'll see Vernon Hargraves on T.Y. Hilton, and Vernon Hargraves allowed 4 touchdowns, 13.5 yards per catch, and over 2 fantasy points per target. So I like those two. We did get some news, if we want to touch base on DeAndre Swift. He is not practicing today because of the illness, and I want to find the Lions beat reporter that said it. Michael Rothstein, who covers the Lions for ESPN, said it sounds like even if DeAndre Swift is able to play Sunday, he would have a specific package/role. So that's interesting. And staying in this game, David Johnson, Romeo Crennel said that he is on track to return for this game. So two pieces.
Then I'm
of
not playing
news.
David Johnson, and yep. I'm not playing DeAndre Swift.
Yep.
That's it. And on top of that, it looks like no Gurley and Julio Jones either again for a second straight week. So just more reason to just fade that game, I think.
I didn't touch on it either. Matt Ryan's averaging like 11 DraftKings points per game without Julio this year. So,
yikes. Yep, he has been quite terrible.
And speaking of splits real quick, I didn't mention it with Deshaun Watson. I just kind of touched on it. But since 2017, Deshaun Watson's averaging 5 fewer DraftKings points per game and like 60 fewer receiving or passing yards per game without Will Fuller. And again, that was with DeAndre Hopkins. So I'm concerned about Deshaun Watson, and I don't want to be. Fantasy just screwed me this week, man. Two of my favorite players, Watson and Kamara, I can't even feel good about him anymore.
We're not even talking about Will Fuller. We're not going to bring this up. We're not going to discuss it at length. I can't. My heart can't go on.
Yo, I did see a report that the Texans are planning on re-signing him, though. So that's good.
They should.
They absolutely should, because he's a stud. So before we move on, I think that I like the points that we've talked about Jonathan Taylor. I think that he is firmly in play. It's absolutely an oversight that we did not touch on him until Meany absolutely crushed all of that analysis. I think that there are ways to get different in this game. And with Cooks at 5,600, Taylor is staring at you at 5,700. If he comes in with half the ownership that Cooks has, I think that playing Taylor and Akins out of this game as a correlation is a good way to be different off of playing Cooks and Kuti, off of playing other spots in this game. But I think that Pittman, Taylor, Akins on that side, as well as T.Y. are all firmly in play out of this matchup. But that is the DFS game-by-game breakdown for the early games. You need to head over to FTNDaily.com. Get signed up with the promo code FTC. Save 10%. Our analysis for the rest of the Week 13 slate is going to be up on FTNDaily.com. Before we get up out of here, Meany, tell me what you got going on content-wise. What's out? What's in the works? I know you have been crushing it on your Mean Streets podcast, all of your fantastic work over at YouTube. If people are not subscribed to FTN Network's YouTube, they need to head over, get sub today. Tell me what you got in the works, man.
Yeah, man, just really pumping up that YouTube channel. You know, subscribe over there. It's free content. We're going to be giving, you know, doing a lot of free content over the next little bit. Like Prize Picks videos are going to happen daily. We're going to be giving some picks. I mean, college basketball is hot right now. We got a hell of a crew. So we're just going to be hitting up a lot of the sports, man. Going to have Pfeiffer hopefully on the show soon. Talk some NBA. We're just a week away. Mean Streets has been heavy football. It's been just me solo, but I got the streaming machine this week. We're going to have some guests on here. I can't wait to really start diving into the other sports, man.
Let's go.
The hockey fans out there, the NBA fans out there. We're going to hit on absolutely everything. So just, I think that's the big thing, man. Like it's absolutely free to subscribe. It takes 2 seconds to head on over to the YouTube page. We're really starting to just amp up and do some cool things. So, head over there. Again, it's free. And, you know, if you subscribe over Mean Streets, just need a couple more reviews and going to be giving away that Jerry Jeudy signed mini helmet. So get in on that. A few Broncos fans have reached out. They really want it, but you know, it's taking the first 50 people. So you're going to have a pretty good shot to win this mini signed helmet from Jerry Jeudy from Pristine Auction. So yeah, just free content over at the YouTube page. Subscribe.
Dude, I mean, free content. You're doing all these giveaways. I know you talked about the Jerry Jeudy helmet. You didn't even mention you and Davis have been crushing the Fabcast. So if people want to like get entered and just spread the net, head over. You need to rate, review Fabcast, and you are entered to win the signed mini helmet for Allen Robinson. Apparently, everybody's talking about it. It's Allen Robinson week, baby.
It's Allen Robinson week. Got the nice little orange Sharpie. Yeah, it's a pretty sharp helmet.
Hell yes, man. So get subscribed, rate and review both of Meany's podcasts, get entered to win, as well as if you're not diving into the free content we got going on at YouTube, I don't know what the hell you're doing. It is all sharp, sharp content on a daily basis. We are pumping out videos. So we're going to be back next week, Adam and I, for everything, all things football, per the usual. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.